friends. It's me, Katie Ann, and your host of the Full Confidence Ahead podcast, where we go on a journey together. And yes, life is a journey. Where we tackle the fears of life, from relationships to finance, from careers to community. So excited today. Last episode, I did credit 101. Today, we are really analyzing that credit score. I'm going to get a quick debrief of what I talked about. If you haven't gone back and listened to that credit score, that was a key one for every single person in the United States and elsewhere who uses credit. Because at some point in time of our lives, we're all going to need to use credit. We need to buy houses, and that uses as a credit score. When you apply for an apartment, that they pull your credit score, cars, credit cards, right? So we all need to understand credit. So I gave a recap of what is credit last time and understanding it. That's our basis. So go and listen to that first. And then now this episode is all about building and rebuilding and improving that credit score. So we're going to be back with all of those tips and tricks right after this break from our sponsors. After every episode, I'm amazed at what each of our guests have accomplished in their lives. They inspire me to go for my dreams and seize opportunities. The reality of life is that every opportunity and dream has a financial implication, and knowing how to manage and grow your money will not only help you achieve your goals, but also get to them faster. Utah Money Moms has been a resource for me to learn how to better manage my money and turn my dreams into reality. Their website is full of interactive material to engage all learning styles. My favorite resource is their free monthly webinars where I can listen and have my questions answered by financial counselors and educators. Head on over to utahmoneymoms.com or Utah Money Moms on Instagram to access free empowering material. Again, that is utahmoneymoms.com or Utah Money Moms on Instagram. Okay, friends. So last time I said this, but recap if you're joining us again. So the reason why I'm the one talking about this, your host right here, Katie Ann, so fun to be in your living room or car, wherever you are with you. So I'm a financial counselor and I'm also a financial educator. So that certifies me both to do one-on-one talking and counseling with people and group counseling as well. So I've been doing this for a couple years. I love it. I love seeing financial changes in people's lives because it enables people to do what they want to in life. So it's my job to help people know and will help people empower people to do what they want to in life. Financial freedom. Oh, it feels so good because you can move, you can go on a vacation, you can take the job you want. It enables you to do life. And so we want you to be able to do life too. So I love what I do as a financial counselor, and I love sharing this credit score recap from our last time. Go back and listen to that credit score debrief, credit score 101. This is going deeper into it. But last time I talked about how the credit score is, the credit score has three credit bureaus that create that score. That's Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And that they can generate either a FICO or a Vantage score. And it's a range from 300 to 850. We want to be in the very good range, which is 740 and above. crazy thing. And I talked about ranges last time. And if that all sounds new to you, please go back and listen to the last episode. You'll be up to speed on all that cool lingo I just said and those ranges. But really interesting is that I want to get in your head that credit scores are ranges, that renters, that car loans, that mortgages, we look at ranges, not like, I don't need to be like, oh, I have to get 782. You want to get 740 and above. It's a range, right? And proof of that, switching apartments and the apartment application had me fill out the range of my credit score. And it was the range. And it literally just said 740 and above. And because I do what I preach, I got to click that 740 and above and was like, woo-woo! So we're going to get you there today. You want to be 740 and above. Go back and listen to that episode if you, if any of these things are confusing yet, it'll get you right up to speed. But we're jumping in to the how to really rebuild your credit score. So recap from last time, there's the five areas of the credit score: payment history, capacity, length of history, new credit, mix of credit. So today we are diving into exactly what that means. So this credit score isn't a mystery and you can improve your credit score. So we're going to start with payment history. Payment history is 35% of your credit score. That is a massive chunk. 35% is huge. So this is what we want to make sure that we are handling the best out of every single area. This and the next one. This one's 35%. Capacity is 30%. Both of these will either tank or bring up your credit score really fast. So let's learn payment history. Okay, what does payment history mean? That means we are either paying on time, late, delinquent, or charge off. So let me define this a little bit. So paying on time is pretty self-explanatory. We probably all have this in our date. Credit cards, right? Credit cards are normally due at the last day of the month. So paying on time is paying your at least your minimum payment on on the last day of that month, right? Okay. Same thing. Let's go mortgage. Your mortgage payment is due on a specific day, and it is paying on or before that specific day, right? So on time, on the day that it says on the thing. We just want that in our head. We want to be there. That's going to bring up your credit score the best is paying on the day it says. Ready? Everyone say it with me, wherever you are, in the car or in your house. On the day that it says. One more time. On the day that it says. Okay, that's in your head. On the day that it says. We want to pay on time. Biggest part of your credit score. Now, the other parts are, so if you're not on time, you're either late, delinquent, or charge off, and they will affect your score accordingly. So a late is when you're like, okay, well, maybe your mortgage was due on the first of the month and you paid by the fifth, right? So you're a couple days late. Not necessarily, you're not necessarily facing penalty fees. You might be, but it's just late, right? You got it in, it's a few days late. What happens is whenever you make a late payment, that goes on your so it doesn't necessarily go on your credit score, but it goes on your credit report. A credit report is like a movie, and a credit score is a snapshot. So your credit report says every single payment, and it has like, was that on time? Was it not on time? So it goes on your credit report. Every single time you pay on time or late, it's recorded. It's a movie. That credit report is like a 7 to 13 year history. So that shows every single kind of crazy. Every single payment that you do throughout the year. Well, throughout the 7 to 13 years. Credit score is the snapshot of right now. How likely are you to pay back what we lent you, right? I'm going to talk a little bit more about a credit report at the end of this. But that's a good picture. Credit report is the movie. Credit score is the snapshot. But every single time you make a late payment, it goes on that credit report, and it's stuck there for 7 to 13 years, which is crazy. That doesn't mean it's going to affect your score for that long, but it does mean that it will immediately affect your score. So a late payment is it going to immediately affect your score? And it will drop accordingly. So on time, ready, everyone. We want to pay on time on the date, right? That's in there. If you have a late payment, if you've done late payments before, don't freak out, right? We just know this is an area of improvement, and this is probably why you don't quite have that seven. Maybe you're in like the 700 range, but you're not quite at that 740, right? It's because maybe once or twice a year you pay, you're like, oh, shoot, I was late on my payments. So a tip and trick that I do to be helpful with that, I have a phone reminder that pops up 2 days before my payments are due. So it's a phone reminder that pops up. I hate reminders on my phone. They bug me so much that I always do the task that's on the reminder because I hate having reminders on my phone. So it's a really effective way for me to remember that every 2 days before the end of the month or before my due dates, all of mine are and end up very nicely, kind of on the end of the month, which is very nice. I have those notifications pop up and it's like, whoop, pay it off. I normally pay mine off 2 days before. You can pay it just on the day. That's not a big deal. But it just makes me know that, like, yep, we're good. Nothing, like, I am on time. And because I've done that, I have successfully been on time my whole entire life. So that is awesome. My credit report is like, woo, she's on time. So I'm getting full points in that payment history, which is huge. 35% of my credit score is that payment history, and I am getting it all because I'm paying on time every day. We want to get you there too. So if you are late before, just breathe. Good. Breathe one more time with me. And now just pay on time forever and always. Now on. Right? Okay, because that will help your score a lot. Just be 5 days earlier, right? Set the reminder, get there, write it in your notebook. Whatever you need to do to get there, pay on that day. It's going to make a difference. Okay, so let's talk about now delinquencies and charge-offs. So delinquencies is when you've been late long enough that the company's like shaking their knees a little bit, that they're or company, financial institution, whoever you've lent from, they're shaking their knees a little bit that they're worried that you're not going to pay them back. So typically when you're delinquent, probably a collections team, a financial solutions team, whatever they're called, they will probably start calling you. The best example I can give of this is like potential repossession of a car. Okay, so if you're late on your payment, typically if you're late a few days and if you're late a couple times, like that's not a big deal. But if you're late multiple times or late a lot of days, more than just a handful, if you can count more than your two fingers of days late, not a good sign. You'll probably be called by the collections team. They will start saying, "Hey, you are late and we need the payment." And they are going to start to try to make payment plans. So they're going to reach out to you and try to get that money back. They're fretting. If you're delinquent for long enough, then it will be a charge off. And that's when the car is repossessed, right? And that's when the company's given up on you. If you are a charge off, you've probably been getting delinquency calls for a while and you haven't been paying it. And so the company just dis like they are just like, I am just giving up. So they mark it as a charge off on their accounting books. You might think, and a lot of people in America think this, but I'm going to redirect your mind. They're like, oh, companies start calling me. It's just off my record. No, actually, it's now a charge off on your credit report. Charge offs are the biggest thing to tanking any credit score. If you have a charge off, you're going to have a bad credit score for a long time. So we want to get those charge-offs off and delinquencies. Delinquencies will tank your credit score. So on-time payments is going to raise it up a lot. Late payments are going to, it's going to bounce it down a little bit. Delinquencies are going to bring it down a lot. Charge-offs are going to maintain it really, really low. Okay. So that's kind of, there's different gravity to each of those, right? So if we had a few late payments, right, we're breathing and we're paying on time. If we're delinquent or charge off, we want to take action today. Okay. So delinquencies. So if you're delinquent, also we're going to breathe through these situations. They happen, right? Life happens. This is why I counsel people through these. We're normal people that life happens to. And so I'm going to talk you through it. There's hope for you if you're right now delinquent with any of your loans or if you've had a charge off. Breathe. I'm talking you through it. Okay. We're going to fix this. Okay. So delinquencies. The best thing you can do is if a company is calling you for negotiation or repayment, call them. You be the active person. This is both for a charge off and delinquencies. If you are the one to call in and be like, hey, I understand I'm late. I want to figure out a repayment plan. Typically, then they'll negotiate for you with you. Either they'll have a little bit more flexible of a payment plan and be like, you know what? Okay, I understand that your monthly payment was too high for you. Let's lower or adjust your interest accordingly. They might be able to do a plan like that. They might also settle. There's the potential that they could settle for less, which is huge for you. But the best thing is you be active, you call them. That is a huge indicator to them. You're like, I'm going to pay this back, right? Because credit score is saying, like, how likely are you to pay something back, right? So if you're the one who calls in and are like, yep, I am going to pay this back, let's figure out a plan. You're negotiating with them. Advocate for yourself and say, you know what? I don't have that right now, but I have this in cash and I'm willing to pay that today. And let's figure out a plan for the future. That is huge. Typically, people will always work with you and they will make something happen. So then you can get out of delinquency with a payment plan. Okay. Charge offs. We see the biggest charge offs with medical debt. This one, you've probably either experienced that within your own family or you know someone that's had medical debt charge off. Medical debt is the worst, right? It's because things that you never thought would ever happen to you in your whole life happened. And that comes with typically a lot of trauma or grief, recovery. It's expensive. And then you get this huge hospital or doctor's bill that you didn't anticipate and aren't able to pay. So we see the biggest one in medical debt. So I'm with you. I understand. It is like so hard, right? So let's fix this because charge-offs are going to keep your score really low for a long time. Okay. So the best thing you can do if there's a charge off is call in for settlement. If you call into the company, so the hospital, let's say, they will, like, 9 times out of 10, settle for less. For a charge off, they just want to get that off their books. They will typically always settle for less. So you go in, have something in mind, like, hey, I have this much in cash. I understand I own this much. I've got this much in cash. Here's a repayment plan. Again, like a delinquency, you're going to have a pre-thought out plan of, like, I am willing to work with you. I want to get this off. You want to get this off. Let's figure this out. Call in, negotiate. You advocate for yourself. Okay. You go in there. I believe in you. This is me pumping you up. Go get those charge offs off. Woo! Go get those delinquencies solved. Woo! You go negotiate for yourself. You've got this. Call in. So if they do have a charge off and it is settled and they're like, hey, you know what? It was, I'm just going to throw out some numbers. $10,000, it was a $10,000 hospital bill. We're negotiating it. You're giving me $5,000 in cash and we're going to call that clean and take the charge off off. And it's settled. So now that charge off's gone. The thing is, once that charge off's gone, it will take a while, typically up to 90 days, for credit bureaus. And we talked about in the last episode. So if that's an unfamiliar word, go back to my last episode. It takes the credit bureaus about 90 days to take it off your record. So to expedite that and to make sure that it actually happens, contact all three of the credit bureaus and say, hey, that charge off was settled, it's gone. Okay. So advocate for yourself, advocate for getting that off faster. Let people know and you got this. It's really easy to look up. So Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, you literally just Google them, their number. They have, like, their websites each have contact information or places just online that you can put, like, settlements or anything that you need. So they're really easy. That's their job, right? That is their job. So they want to do their job well, and you want to get that. You want to get your credit score up. So, payment history. I really want to nail this one in. It's 35% of your credit score. So I want you to think about that. Where are you with payment history? Are you on time? Are you late? Are you delinquent? Or are you charge off? That's really going to determine your credit score right now. That's huge. I want everyone to be on time. The most amazing place that we could be, like, future goals, is on time and paying everything in full. That's a good transition into capacity. And that's our kind of long-term vision. On time, though. On time, on time. Everybody, here we go. On time, on time. Okay. I hope I've just said that enough. Like, I want to get that. It is possible for you. You can negotiate for yourself. You can do this. On time's the way to go. Okay. Our next biggest category is 30% of your credit score is capacity. Yeah. Okay. This is crazy. Capacity is the one that I feel like 99% of Americans do not know this, except for, like, financial counselors. And so everyone's tanking in this category, which is crazy. Okay. So capacity. I'm just going to give you a couple situations to understand this idea of capacity. Okay, then we'll talk about the magic number to help us get points for capacity. So if I have a credit card with a $1,000 limit, right, I can max it out, meaning I use the full amount at $1,000, right? Or what about if I use 50%? So instead of, if 1 month I didn't max it out, so instead of that, I use 50%. That would be using, I want you to think about it, $1,000 limit, 50% of that is, think, $500. Okay, so it's just half of that $1,000 limit. So the crazy thing is, with any credit that we have, that's a credit card, this is called, this type of loan is called a revolving loan. Actually, let me back up. Hold that thought on the credit, maxing out the credit. We have two types of loans, okay? We have installment loan, which we all kind of get that, where we have a monthly payment. That's your car, your house, and, like, a student loan. You have a monthly payment and you pay it. You pay it. Capacity doesn't have to do with any of those. Okay. Revolving credit is where capacity comes in. And that's like a credit card where you have so much you can use each month and then you pay it off. And you have so much you can use each month and then you pay it off. Right. So any type of loan that you can utilize, pay it off, and keep utilizing is a revolving credit. So capacity really deals with revolving credit. Okay. So, the magic number, back to our credit card. So if I have a $1,000 limit, if I use 50% of it, that would be $500, right? There is a magic capacity number limit, which is crazy and so counterintuitive to the whole world. The magic number is 30%. 30% of your capacity is where your credit score is good, 30% or below. So, for example, if I have a $1,000 limit card, 30% of that is, think about it, 300. So I always want to keep my balance on my card $300 or less if I had $1,000. And I know that stinks because you're like, wait a minute, I literally applied for a $1,000 card because I needed to use $1,000, right? You're like, what the heck? But now you're telling me I can only use $300? And I say, yes, this is where I know that our credit system is not perfect. And this is one of those spots you're like, dang it. So let me give you some tips and tricks, okay? A couple things. So that credit limit, I'm gonna repeat that. 30%, okay? 30%. You always want to stay below 30%, okay? And that means if you're carrying balances month to month, I want to keep those carried balances still under 30%, like always 30% and under, okay? That is the magic number. It will bring your credit score up. If I'm maxing out my cards, that tanks my credit score, which is, I know it's so silly where you're like, I applied to use all that money and now that's going to tank my credit score. I'm like, yes, it will. That stinks. So 30%. So let me tell you things that don't stink. So then you can make sure that you can have the capacity that you need. So one thing you can do if you have some credit cards right now, it's pretty easy to go and call into the financial institutions and get a credit limit raise. So if I had a $1,000 card and let's just say it's at a credit union, okay? I had a $1,000 card at a credit union. If I called in today and was like, hey, I would like to raise that credit limit to $5,000, they'll say, absolutely, we're going to check your credit score. We're going to ask a few questions why. And then they'll get back to me and let me know. Then they're like, yep, approved. Now your credit card limit is $5,000. So it's not a new card. It's just on the same card I'm raising my limit. Here's the tricky thing. So now I have $5,000 and I'm like, sweet. Okay. Now it's easier. 30% of that is way better in my range, right? So when we raise our credit limit, we have to make sure to maintain our spending. It is tempting to be like, wait, now I have $5,000 that I'm capable of using. So I'm going to spend $5,000. No. So we have to maintain our same spending habits while we raise our credit, right? Because we want to keep that ratio in between our capacity and our usage as big as possible, right? We want to stay below that 30%. So call into your financial institutions or call into wherever you have a card and you can get your limit raised. As long as you promise me, don't do it unless you promise me this. Pinky promise. I'm putting my pinky out there right now. I want to see your pinky that your spending habits will not change. Say it with me. My spending habits will not change. We're going to say the sentence. My spending habits will not change as I raise my credit limit. Ready with me. One, two, three. My spending habits will not change as I raise my credit limit. Okay. Pinky promise. Pinky promise. Cool. Okay. 30%. That's your magic number. Okay. Awesome. Our next part of our credit score. So those are the two biggest things. We had payment history and capacity. Each of those, so payment history, 35%, capacity is 30%. The rest of these are all 15 to 10%. So they're going to ding your credit score a little bit or they'll raise it a little bit, but not nearly as much as changes in payment history and capacity will either ding or bring it up. Okay. So really focus on those payment histories and capacity. And that's going to be dramatic changes in your credit score. These other ones will help you a little bit here and there, or tank that it won't totally tank you, but it'll bring it down here and there. Okay. So length of history. This one's hard. 15% is just how long you've borrowed. The longer you've borrowed, the higher that'll be. If you haven't borrowed very long, you're just not going to get very many points in that area. However, think about this, right? We're a range. Right. We learned that credit scores are a range. And so if I was doing everything else well, my payment history was on time, my capacity was under 30%, and we're going to talk about new credit and mix of credit. I was good on both of those, and I've only had credit for a year. Well, we're in a range, right? So maybe I'm not an 850, but I still would be a 780, which is in the very good range. So you know what? Like length of history, it's a bummer. We can't do much about it, except for unless you have kids or grandkids or people you know. So if you or a kid has never had any credit, let me talk to you about a couple ways that you can maintain, start building your credit. And this is like the best tip and trick. So listen up right here. It is adding an authorized user to a pre-established credit person's card. So I'm going to give you an example of a parent and a child. So let's say a parent, we're going to go with a dad, has a good credit score. And you want to attach yourself to someone with a good credit score, right? You don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to be an authorized user on someone with poor credit. Bad. You don't want their credit, right? So let's say there's a dad who has like 700 and above credit. So he's like good to really good, right? So not perfect, but he's in a good range. Okay. He's at 700. And he has a child born. Let's say that child is 5 years old. You can do this whenever, but this child is five and he's like, you know what? I want to build this child's credit. So what the dad will go into the credit union bank or wherever this card is housed, right? And ask, hey, can I add my child to as an authorized user? And they will say, yes. What will happen at that point is they will ask for the child's social security or ITIN number, your tax identification number, because your tax identification number is tied to your credit score. That's how we know that it's you with your credit score. And then they will add it as an authorized user, which means that they could have another, you could print a card for that child, but the best thing you can do is don't let the child know. Or you can let the child know, but don't print them a card. So only the dad still has the card. And so even though the child's an authorized user and could go use that card without any questions, don't let him use it. So really what's happening is the dad's just doing his normal thing. The dad's just like doing his card. But by the end that kid graduates college, they have a credit score that's equal to the dad's. So it's built up to over 700 without them even touching a card. So then at that point, they can get their own card with an excellent rate and get off of the authorized user of their dad's card, right? So that's a really good thing for a parent or guardian situation. If you have a spouse that's coming in from out of country, that is an, so I speak Portuguese. If some of you know that from my podcast, I've talked about that a little bit. I've helped quite a few, I've translated some situations because I worked at a credit union. I translated some awesome situation where one spouse was already here and was establishing credit and the other one finally got approved to move here. They moved here and they added them. We added them as an authorized user to quickly start building that spouse's credit score. That was an awesome situation to use that as well. There's different situations that you can use that. So I hope that gets your mind buzzing a little bit with building credit with someone who's never had credit. So then hopefully your kids or your grandkids or your neighbors or whoever's listening to this podcast, by the time they grow up, those youngsters have a good credit score, right? We all wish that that was us when we were little, and it might not have been you, and you might have had to work for your credit score, but you can provide a better future for your family, right? And so that's a great option. So then when they're in high school and they're buying their first car and the little junker car, right, and they need a loan, they're going to have an excellent rate. And then they'll be able to have a job that still allows them to go and be with friends as well as work because they didn't have as big as a loan or as big as interest on that loan because their credit score was awesome, right? There's huge benefits to that. Huge, huge benefits. So big one right there. Good little tip of adding that authorized user, right? And then besides that length of history, there's not much we can do about it. But it's a small part of our history. So if you are a new user, you're like, you know what? I got credit only a few years ago. Just hang in there. You're not going to have an 850, but it doesn't matter because anything above 740 is considered very good. Okay, cool. Our last part, they're each 10% split. So we have new credit and credit mix. So new credit is a little bit crazy. It dings you if you're opening too many credit cards or loads at the same time, which makes sense, right? They don't want someone, like a lot of fraud happens where someone gets a social security number and then opens like a bajillion credit cards in their name and uses them all to full capacity and then gets that stuff and leaves and never pays it off, right? So it's a way to be like, hold on, what is this person doing? Or if you're just opening a whole ton of cards just to max them out, just to have credit, banks and credit unions are like, not a good sign, right? Opening too many new credits at one time will tank you, right? The other thing is inquiries, and that's there's hard pulls and soft pulls on credit. A hard pull is when you ask for your credit score and it gives you an official number. That will tank, it won't tank your score. It'll bring your score down a little bit. And so it's just being thoughtful about those inquiries. Don't inquire every single day, right? It's just being thoughtful about those. There's soft pulls that give you an estimate. So, for example, like Equifax does a free credit score every day. That's fine. It's a soft pull. It's not dinging your credit. There's some other apps that provide that. That's not going to ding your credit. Sometimes with rental applications, they do a soft pull instead of a hard pull. It's not going to ding your credit. You can ask when someone asks to pull your credit score. You can say, "Hey, is this a hard pull or a soft pull?" Right? So there is one thing with inquiries that is helpful to know. Because a lot of times when we're doing car purchases and house purchases, we want to shop around, and I'm going to encourage you shop around for the best rates possible, right? And with that, you're going to be asking different dealers and different credit unions and different banks and different mortgage companies for the best rate, right? So thank goodness the credit score and credit bureaus and the people who created this system had mercy on us. And we're like, yes, please shop around. So if you're buying a car or a house, if any inquiries that you make in a 14-day range will be counted only as one inquiry. Okay. So for example, if I'm shopping around for a house and I visited 18 different, that's a lot, but hey, I'm shopping around, right? 18 different mortgage companies, credit unions, and banks to try to get the best rate. The credit bureaus will see that and will be like, "Oh, she's looking for a house. It's in a 14-day range. We're just going to count that as one inquiry instead of 18," which is great for your credit score. So it'll only take you down a few points instead of like a few points and a few points and a few points that spirals quickly, right? So cars and houses. Don't be afraid to shop around. Just plan it out. Have that 14-day range in your head and be like, "Okay, I'm planning it out 14 days." So maybe take a day or two off of work and be like, "I am shopping around. I am getting the best thing for me. I'm going to go to as many, just book a lot of appointments with dealers or with mortgage companies or banks and credit unions to really shop around and get the best rate for you and pull your credit all within a pretty quick time frame." But so there's hope for you. Totally okay with those inquiries, that 14-day range, only for cars and houses though. So not credit cards. Don't be doing that for credit cards. Only cars, like driving, beep beep, drive, and houses. Okay, there's that. I'm so glad for that, right? And then the general rule is we don't want to be opening too many loans or credit cards at the same time. So kind of general rule is 2-year gaps, and that'll keep your credit score just fine. It won't ding you. If you're opening, anytime you open a new card or loan, it's going to bring you down a little bit. But as long as you're in the 2-year kind of gap range, even 1 year is okay. You'll be fine. It'll only take you down a few points. It won't like totally drop you. It'll take you down a few. You'll make on-time payments. You'll be right back up there really fast, right? So just to be thinking about that. So if you're kind of in a situation where you're like, "Oh, I'm about ready for a new car and I might also need a new credit card," just be thoughtful about that and space it out accordingly and be like, "Well, maybe this year I actually do really need that car. So I'll get the car. I'll wait for a second on a new credit card and then I'll get that in like a year and a half." So just be thoughtful, right? Our last category is 10% is credit mix. Okay. And that means I'm going to have more points if I have a car loan and a mortgage and a credit card. It's just showing that I'm capable of paying off things in multiple different areas. And now some of us might be like, "Wow, mortgages are really expensive." And wow, cars are really expensive. And so we might not be in a space that we have loans on either of those. And we might only be in the space that we have credit cards, which is totally okay because you can have a credit mix within credit cards themselves. There's different types of credit cards. There's banks, there's credit unions, there's department stores, there's flight things. airplane. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say like Delta and Southwest, whatever those companies are called, airplane flights stuff. But they all have credit cards, right? So next time, and this is not saying go and open or go get a bunch of loans. Just it's saying, okay, if I have two credit cards and they're both from banks, Next time, when I need to have a credit card, let me be thoughtful about that. And maybe I'm going to choose a credit union this time, or maybe I'll use a department store. I'm just going to have a different mix. So it's not all the exact same thing every time, right? So if you don't have a mix right now, that's fine. It's not going to like tank you, right? Just next time, be thoughtful about it. And instead of applying for the same area, just apply for something maybe a little bit different, okay? So those are your first areas. Those are not your first. Those are the areas. I hope that credit score is no longer a mystery. It's literally those five things. That's what makes your credit score go up and go down are those instances. And I've talked you through exactly what to do. A few more things, just a couple additional tips before we wrap up. I'm going to do additional tips and then I'm going to talk about your credit report, which is that movie instead of a snapshot, right? So additional tips. So I talked about becoming an authorized user on a card. That's great. The other thing, if you are like, I am so struggling right now with credit, like my credit is so bad, that's okay. I've got an option for you. So they're called secured cards. Credit unions and banks, typically they like all of them do them. There might be a few that don't, but so always to go and ask. So what a secured card it is, it's just like a normal credit card. I'm going to use a $1,000, example. Okay. So what they have you do is up front, they have you pay 100 and typically 120% of that card. So if it was a $1,000 limit, I would have to first put up $1,200. They put that money in your savings account, but it's locked, so you can't touch it. So what that does for them is they're like, hey, we're not super sure, like your credit score is low. It makes us nervous to lend to you, but we've locked that money away. So we know if you are delinquent on your, if you default on your card, then we know we have that money and we'll pay it back immediately. So that secured card is awesome for you. You just use it like a normal credit card. They do just have to lock up some extra money up front. So just save up to be able to lock up that money. Or just start with like a $500 card. Like start with a low amount, lock up the money, build up that credit. It will help your credit go, like it will really help you a lot. So if you're like, I am just desperate, I am just like trying, I'm trying to get out of the tank, I'm getting rejected for all these loans. If you're getting rejected for things, it's time to do a secured card, because secured card you won't get rejected for. Okay. As long as you have that upfront payment, they're going to do a secured card and you'll start building that credit and then you'll be able to go to the next loan. Okay. So secured card, that is huge. Another additional tip and trick is the best place that we can do with credits is on time and in full. So if I am paying on time, so we have our minimum payments, right? Let's say it's like $1,000 a card and I have to pay $20 on it. Let's say that's my minimum payment. If I pay that at the end of the month, then my credit score is gonna be just fine. But if I'm paying on time and in full, so let's say I used up to 30% of my card because I knew that and I used my capacity well. So if I used $300 and then I paid off $300 in full, that's huge, because that means I will not pay interest on that money, which means I am saving money. I'm only paying $300. I won't pay $300 plus the 18, 20% interest that the card has. So we want to be on time and in full. So what I do is I really think of my credit card like a debit card. So I have a separate savings account where I put in my full capacity of my credit card. Now I don't use my credit card to the full capacity, because I know my 30%, right? But I put a full capacity amount in a savings account. And so that's set away as I'm using my credit card during the month. So then at the end of the month, I literally already have that. I'm not waiting for a paycheck. Like I've already built that up. So it just pays it right off. And then every paycheck, I just contribute a little bit into that to keep that rolling, right? So instead of living paycheck to paycheck, before I opened a credit card, I had that untouchable. I had that savings account. So then I was always like living one paycheck ahead of paycheck to paycheck. That built up my credit score a lot. That has saved me thousands of dollars in interest. I am proud to say that as long as I've been a credit union user, because I've done financial literacy long before I've been doing financial literacy a lot of years, I've paid 0% in every single loan I've had. 0% interest, credit card loan. Let me rephrase that. Any revolving credit that I have capacity, 0% interest, which means I am only paying for what I'm using, which means I am racking up the points and not racking up any extra charges. That Rocks, guys. That is more money in my pocket, and that's where we want you to be. So that might be a long-term vision. You might be making minimum payments on time right now. That's okay. Your credit score is great. Pay $5 extra. If you're at that 20, if your minimum is $22, then maybe pay 25, right? Start by doing little chunks more to eventually get up to paying on time and in full. That is like such a blessing in your life. So have that as your vision, right? The other thing you can do, if you're just struggling with credit, stop using your credit card. Like just stop using it. Don't shut it down. Just stop using it. If you aren't carrying any balances, like if your balance is zero, an untouched credit card will just keep building your score. You don't have to use a credit card to like have it contribute to your credit score. So for example, like if I have my $1,000 credit card limit and I am using zero and I've used zero for a whole year, like I've never even touched it. Think of our capacity, right? I'm under that 30% capacity. So my capacity score is like, absolutely, she's doing great. Woo, woo, woo. So that's awesome, right? So maybe you have multiple cards and maybe one of them you're like, oh, you know what? I could be 30% under capacity on this one and just not touch this one. And so that's just gonna like sit there and build up credit for me, right? So you don't have to close a card. You just, if you don't use it, it's just gonna contribute to your credit. So that's awesome and a good thing to know. One more thing really quick before we wrap up on this, credit report. And I've mentioned that a little bit earlier. So credit report is a movie. Credit score is a snapshot. So credit score is a picture today of what is the number of how likely he or she or they will pay back what I lent them, right? Credit report is a movie of, let me see their movie of how they've paid and when they've paid and how much interest they've paid. And it also shows you if you've had fraud. Right? Huge for you. You want to make sure you're not having fraud. It can happen that people, oh, this is a common fraud thing where your social security number is stolen and people open credit cards in your name. Not a fun experience. And then suddenly it's like, wait, under my name, suddenly I have all these charge-offs. Why in the world do I have them? I've never had a charge-off before. It's like, oh my gosh, someone opened fake credit card accounts. That can all be solved. But we want to make sure we're catching it, right? We want to catch fraud on our accounts. So, I'm going to repeat the website that you go. So every single person in the United States, this is a right for everyone to have a free credit report from every single credit bureau per year. So you can look through that movie, right? So it's annualcreditreport.com. I'm going to say that again because there's a lot of fraud sites that want to steal your social security. So it's important to get that right. So it's annualcreditreport.com. No caps, no spaces, just annualcreditreport.com. Okay. So on there, you can go on there and you pick Equifax, TransUnion, or Experian, and you say, okay, I want my free credit report. So you can have up to three, so one from each of those per year. So you just go and you put some information. They typically do have you put your social security number. That's why we want to make sure we're on the right website, annualcreditreport.com. They'll have you answer some security questions, typically tied to addresses that you've lived at, which are tied to your social security number as well. So you'll fill that out and it'll be like, yep, you're the correct person, and then it'll pop you up your credit report. Credit report does not have that score on the top, but it does show you, am I on time? Am I late? Am I delinquent? Do I have any charge-offs? And it does show you any new credit that's been opened in your name so you can catch any fraud. So this is a practice that I do once a year. I go to annualcreditreport.com in January. I have a reminder that comes up on my phone once a year. I always go and I look at my credit report and just make sure that I have no fraud. It's always a bummer. Sometimes like promotional things will pull your credit and you're like, are you serious? You pulled my credit and you did an inquiry and that dropped my credit score a couple points. That's so dumb. If you're finding that you have a lot of promotional offers, like a lot of car places or insurance are pulling your credit, that somehow they got your information and they're pulling your credit to send you mailing offers or pre-approvals on things. You can always freeze your credit. So you just contact the credit bureaus and you say, hey, I want to freeze my credit. That means no one can touch it, which is great. That it does mean that next time you need to pull it, It still is untouchable, so you're gonna have to call back in and say like, "Hey, I want to unfreeze it now so I can get this card so they can access my credit report." So it just makes it unaccessible to anyone. So if you're like, "Ugh, this is the worst," or if you're like, "I have been frauded so many times," just freeze it. That'll be just fine. You can just freeze it. That means no one else can see it or touch it or do anything to it. Okay. So annualcreditreport.com. I want you to make that a practice. I hope that this episode of the podcast has made that now a practice for you once a year to go on there, check your credit report, celebrate yourself for being on time, right? It shows how much interest you paid. It shows if you've been on time, late, delinquent, charge off, and it'll make sure that you don't have any fraud going on. If you do have fraud, contact the credit bureaus immediately. They will help you file a claim on that. They'll help you make sure that that fraud is taken care of, because you don't want to have that. You don't want someone else's poor decisions of credit be reflected on you. So that can be solved. Just get a hold of it immediately on all of three of the credit bureaus' websites. They have places for you to call in or send in a claim, file a claim for all that. So annualcreditreport.com. I want that to be a practice now that once a year, or you can space it throughout the year, right? You have three options from each of the three credit bureaus that you can space it out and be like, "Oh, I'm gonna do check it here, and then I'm gonna check this other credit bureaus this time and this time." I just pick one at the beginning of every year and I'm like, "Okay, here we go. I'm checking it," right? So, I hope that you walked away and you're like, "I am now the expert on credit," because you are, right? 300, 850, that number range. You know, payment history, capacity, length of history, new credit, mix of history. No longer is that score a mystery to you. Like, you can know exactly how to get a 740. There's no mystery. You've got this. So excited for you. Here for you in your credit journey. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening in on the Full Confidence Ahead podcast. Weekly on Tuesdays, we'll continue our journey of confidence together through new interviews and insights. Make sure to hit the subscribe button to stay up to date on the latest conversations and confidence boosts. And by the way, you got this, because you deserve to live life full confidence ahead. See you next week.